So thank you guys for tuning back in. I'm sorry it's been so long. I have the birth of my first grandbaby and my daughter and I guess soon to be son-in-law have moved in. So my walls have expanded to greet them, and it's just been busy and exciting and just a hubbub of energy going around. And my home is quite interesting right now. But today I am going to talk to you guys about a planet that is very illusionary. And I'm talking about this because it's come up so much this week in my life. And it's one of the prominent planets in my birth chart, and that is Neptune. But we're going to talk about it, especially since we are actually, Wednesday is the last day for Mercury retrograde in Scorpio. So we are actually venturing into Neptune in Scorpio and Neptune in the eighth house. This topic, this subject has come up quite frequently. People have asked me about it, have asked me to look at their chart, and not just to look up Neptune, but to see if they are possibly a hereditary witch. And Neptune is going to lead us into that topic. Not that the placement of Neptune itself tells us where you could be a hereditary witch, but the placement of Lilith, who is another watery type, emotional, sensitive, deep, very deep point in the sky. Especially when you get into Vedic or sidereal astrology, which goes really, really, really deep. I'm sitting outside today and I have on my headphones, so hopefully you guys don't hear the background noise. But so let's get into it, and then we're going to talk about some other things. Okay, so Neptune is the planet of illusion, and when Neptune is in the eighth house, okay, when Neptune is in the eighth house, the question of is someone a hereditary witch comes up. Now, this is a thin line, a touchy subject, because this can hit and this can highlight real insecurities. Some things might bring up, like kick up things that people want to remain hidden. And when the dust settles, there's no hiding it. It's there. Okay? The eighth house is the house of secrets and other people's money. Neptune is the planet of illusion. It's the planet of delusion. And occult matters, psychic awareness. The eighth house is deeply into psychic awareness, death, regeneration, secrets, deep dark secrets, money, especially other people's money. What you do with other people's money, how you relate with other people's money. When Neptune, the planet of illusion, delusion, deception, and all that I mentioned comes in, it is found in the eighth house. The eighth house belongs to Scorpio, Pluto, and the co-ruler Mars that Scorpio shares with Aries. You get someone who is deeply, deeply drawn, like a suction to the depths of the occult. It can be so seductive that it draws the person in, and because Neptune is such a mirror, that that person becomes what is drawing them in. But does that mean that someone is a witch? Being psychic does not make someone a witch at all. Not at all. Does not make you hereditary. Does not mean you even have witches in your family. It's just a gift that you have. Okay? Everybody is psychic to a certain extent. Okay? So, when Neptune is in the eighth house, they get like extra sensory, extra information from the occult that easily they can see past veils and be drawn so deeply that they can feel the energy run through their veins. That's how deep they can meld into it, because Neptune is the ruler of Pisces and they have no boundaries. So there's no boundaries. So what when they get sucked into this, into the eighth house, they become what sucks them in. There's no boundaries. So the only way, though, that Neptune in the eighth house can signify someone being a hereditary witch is if Lilith is also located in the eighth house. Okay? If Lilith is not also located in the eighth house, it's just Neptune, then now you have a person that is delusional, deeply delusional. It could even kick up some instances of mental illness, okay, schizophrenia, all other types of delusionment that can happen, because the line between reality and what's not isn't there. There's no boundary, so they don't know. When they're being sucked into this energy, they lose sight of the reality, so they don't know if what's sucking them in is really sucking them in, or is it all just in their head. There is no border, there is no line there. So they come up with all these ideas from nowhere that are untrue and believe them to their heart. And then sometimes these ideas turn out to be true and the rest are just hogwash. But they believe it because there's no boundary. They don't know. The illusion of Neptune has clouded the reality, so they can't separate that from the delusionment. So you get people that are constantly pessimistic, constantly paranoid. You get your paranoid schizophrenics. You get all kinds and manners of illness, mental illnesses dealing with delusions and delusion. Okay? But when you have Lilith in this house and Neptune is in this house, Lilith actually strengthens the psychic part of this house. And Lilith also brings the witchiness into this house. So you have someone who can be a very strong witch, but still, even so, this witch may not be as strong as she could be if Neptune was in any other house but the eighth house. Okay? If Neptune was in the 12th house, and Lilith was in the 8th house, then yes, that's an extremely powerful witch. If Lilith was in the 4th house, I mean, if Neptune was in the 4th house and Lilith was in the 8th house, again, yes, a very perceptive witch, strong. 10th house, 9th house, Neptune, anywhere but the 8th house. Neptune in the first house, the house of self, brings a delusionment, or not a delusionment, I'm sorry, and loses, Neptune loses its delusionment when it's not in the 12th or the 8th house, okay? In the first house, it's not delusionment, it's just only illusion. So the person has an identity crisis. The person doesn't know, the person can shapeshift, the person can become whoever somebody thinks that they are. They can fit into any crowd and just morph into that crowd. You think you know them one minute, and then when they're around other people, they're like, oh wow, I thought this Neptune in the first house was outgoing, but it was outgoing and loud and raunchy, but now they're just classy and just really elegant. I didn't know they had that side to them. And then they're out sporting and or whatever. They do not have a set identity, self-identity. And they, at one point in time, especially in childhood, they could be the type that would go through a very deep, identity crisis, and still not know who they are. And well into older age, they just are. Let's say if you're gay, okay? Because I have Neptune in my emerging. I can't think of that name. Oh my God, emerging into my first house from my 12th house. So it's coming into my first house. And so that's car having Neptune on the ascendant. And yes, they're both in the same sign. My ascendant is in Scorpio. My Neptune is in Scorpio. My moon is right there also in Scorpio. And so what you get with me, and I did go through a really dark time in my life, which was the identity crisis. I just did not know how to define myself, who I was, because every time I got a grasp on me, I changed. It was like, okay, what is my style? Who am I? I don't know, because I change all the time. And it's like, and it doesn't help that my life path number is 5. It doesn't help that my Mars is in Aquarius. So I have all this change going on in my life, supporting my Neptune on my ascendant. And so sexually, yes, I am a lesbian, but it's like I'm in between. It's very vague. It's like I'm stud and then I'm femme. But I'm stud when I'm around femmes. But I'm more femme when I'm around studs. And you see how that changes? And depending on who you're around, the people who you're around, their energy reflects off of you, because you're reflective. Neptune is reflective. So it reflects off of you. So you just shapeshift. You become whatever crowd you're into. And people have a hard time understanding you or getting you, because they don't see you as being this one-dimensional person. They see you as being multidimensional, and all the dimensions are vague. There's no sharp line separating. All the lines and the patterns and the circles all meld into each other. They just melt into each other. And so you have to learn to just accept that you don't have a set identity. You change, and accept who you are as your identity changes. And when I say identity, I'm not talking about Yes, I am talking about personality, but it's not to the point where it's like in the eighth house, where it's a mental illness. In the first house, it's just, how did that go? Don't study me, because you will fail. That's it. That's Neptune in the first house. Don't study a Neptune in the first house, a Neptune on the ascendant, because you will fail. Don't study them, because you will fail. Don't study trying to get to know them, trying to handle them, trying to understand them, trying to, because as soon as you do, there's something else. And then in Scorpio, there's something deeper. There's always something deeper. And Neptune is a deep planet anyway, so the depths, just there's no end to the depths, because not only do we change, but we have amazing depth, endless depth. And it's in those depths that you really get the best hold of who we are, because it's like in those depths is where we have learned the basics of basic value of who we are, and where we work from, a scratch pad that we work from. And you have to get down to those depths in order to find that out, in order to see that. Yes, it's quite complicated. It makes Neptune is a very mysterious planet. Yeah, so Neptune itself in the eighth house does not indicate someone is a witch. Lilith does. Lilith in the eighth house does indicate that someone is a hereditary witch. So if you see a Vedic chart, this is only for Vedic charts. This is not for tropical charts. Okay, let me repeat that. This is not for tropical astrology. Tropical or common astrology, tropical or popular astrology, no. No. This is only for Vedic, sidereal astrology, Eastern Vedic. The sidereal astrology is not for Western astrology, okay? Lilith in the eighth house is the indicator that someone has inherited or has the bloodline of witches in their family, and they are one as well. Okay, so let's see, what else are we going to talk about today? Let's talk about, I'm sitting outside today and I really didn't bring my list with me. But we can talk about the differences. Okay, let's stay on astrology for this one, okay? We can talk about the basic differences between the elements, the signs, and how that can be ways that can be incorporated into magic. And this could be like a start of a new series, actually. So let's start with the water signs, since we're already on there. Let's start with Pisces. So when Neptune, I think Neptune is in retrograde, I think till this month maybe. But I'm not sure, don't hold me on that. But Pisces in astrology is very ethereal, sensitive, mirrors. They have no boundaries. They recharge by sleeping. Sleeping recharges them. Gives them energy, helps them find depth, that helps them find purpose, that helps them find their life. When the people say get your life, they get their life when they're asleep. They get a second wind. They can breathe. Their life, their soul, their their minds can breathe, can be liberated, can be freed from all the mess that they have accumulated. So, Pisces, in magic, can be used to help actually the opposite of what they're known for. They can actually be used, the sign can actually be used to help with focus and intention. And the symbol for Pisces and Neptune is the trident. So the trident is like a three-pronged fork looking instrument. Aquaman has a trident. And so you can use that symbol and carve it into candles, or write it, draw it on petitions, or even if you're doing mirror magic, candle magic, whatever you're doing magic with, you can even take crystals and form them in the shape of a trident. And then what you can, or even use candle wax and drip the candle wax into the shape of a trident, like a seal even. If you want to, if you need to seal something, like seal a candle, seal the bottom of a candle, or seal anything like that, you can set your intention and create that. You can do like, you can have literally make a trident for your circle if you would like that. And that's for focus, intention, strength, power, psychic awareness. Psychic power that allows you to see through veils. This can help you in scrying. Help you see if you're trying to develop your psychic gifts like clairvoyance. This can help you in that too. Cancer. Cancer is ruled by the moon, or moody, and very intuitive. The illusion is dropped when you get to Cancer. Cancer is the next water sign after Pisces. The illusion, the delusion, all that is dropped, but there's still that haze there, and that haze is felt in the emotions. So Cancers tend to be on this wave of emotions that just haze, and they are very protective, very loving, very aggressive, very, they can be very possessive. They can be quite generous and quite manipulative. So in magic, what you can do is Cancers are, you can take like a seashell. This is the best way I would do. You can carve the symbol for Cancer and stuff like that. And also the symbol for Pisces, because they're the sign of the two fish going either way because of the illusionment and confusion of the sign and delusionment. And it's like two half moons facing back to back with a line connecting the two in between. And so what you can do is I would just take water and seashells especially the reflective kind, the kinds that have the different colors that reflect like pearls, have like a pearlish finish to it. And just find, acquire, or buy natural seashells like that and put them in water, set the water under moonlight. And you could do like moon magic, or you could even create moon water that way with the seashells on the bottom. And if they're really soft, they might float really light. They might float to the top even better. And you can bless the water for certain purposes. You can set candles and surround them with seashells and moon rocks and moonstones and let's see, you can also do this with I'm seeing rosemary. So yeah, rosemary would be a good idea because cancers are very protective. So rosemary is a very protective herb. And so you could surround your candles with rosemaries and seashells and roses. And under particular moon phases, depending on what work you are trying to do. So if you are trying to banish or get rid of or to do divination or scry, then under a waning moon would be optimal, okay, to do this under, okay? And the power, draw up the power, okay, from the power of Cancer. And these seashells and the moon phase and all that, draw up that power and let that power fill you as you set your intention. Just let it just run over you like a waterfall through you, okay? And just let that power become your power as you work your magic. And you're focusing on what it is that you want, or what your intention is for that, for your magic that you're doing. Okay, and then what you want to do is you want to for like bringing stuff to you, you want to do that optimally under a waxing moon. Same thing. New moon can be used for ancestor work, bringing stuff to you, banishing, bringing stuff to you, cleansing, shadow work, all that kind of stuff. New moon can be used for bringing stuff to you, starting new projects, new endeavors, ancestor work, being thankful, all that kind of stuff. And because Cancer is ruled by the moon, allowing yourself to be strong, drawing down the moon, and incorporating these elements of Cancer in your magic is amazing, and allowing it to fill you with power. That is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful magical work. And then after Cancer comes Scorpio, and the illusionment is completely gone now from Pisces. But now with Scorpio, what you have is you have intense focus, intense intention, intensity of everything, intensity of both the psychic matters of Pisces and the intuitiveness of Cancer, all wrapped up in Scorpio. Now, yes, Pisces is the 12th sign of the zodiac, and people associate that with being the last sign and the reason why they're so disillusioned or whatever, because they have all the other signs mixed in. I don't subscribe to that. Pisces goes first in water elements, and as you get to Cancer, that their influence fades, and as you get to Scorpio, it's gone. Okay, Scorpio is the only water sign that is not directly associated with water only. It gets its connotation with water from its depth, its emotional depth. Okay, but with the other two, of all three water signs, Scorpio is the most balanced, the most stable, and the most in deep, intent, and focused. So Scorpio and Capricorn, which is Capricorn is a very strong earth sign, which I'm going to do next, are a lot alike. They're so similar, they could be identical twins. And in fact, Capricorn has the sign of the seagull because it's also associated with water because of its emotional depth. Okay, so they even have that in common. Okay, so Scorpio, of course, is signed the Scorpion. They're ruled by Pluto and Mars. Okay, Pluto is known by Aries by being aggressive, impetuous, go-getters. All those things that are associated with Aries, and Pluto's depth and mystery. It's a very mysterious planet. It gives Scorpio its real air of mystery. It gives Scorpio the type of depth that you don't see in any other planet. It goes real deep, and I almost said it goes too deep, and that could actually be true, because many people fear to go as deep as a Scorpio can go, because a Scorpio can go so deep that you start to tremble, you feel like you can't breathe. And that is because intense Pluto exists in those depths. It's the only planet that can. Okay? So, in magic, you can use this as you Scorpio in divination, scrying, medium work. You can use its depth and intensity in so many ways. The opal or the or black stone is wonderful to use because it's deep, it absorbs negative energy, and it helps to clear the way for you to see deep into what matters at hand without all that negative bullshit in the way. So, Scorpio's influence can be used when there are really intense matters going on, you can call upon Scorpio. You can use the power, the intense power of Pluto, to give yourself bravery in your occult work. If you are afraid to light that candle to do a spell or whatever, call upon the energy, the power of Scorpio. If you have it in your chart, in a prominent place, call upon that to give you strength, okay? Your chart is not just one, it's not just a one-dimensional object that shows you where your planets are. You can actually harness energy from your chart. You can harness energy from your chart, from your birth chart. So if you have your sun sign, moon sign, Mars, if your personal planets, sun, moon, Mars, Venus, Mercury are in Scorpio or in the eighth house, then you can call upon that energy to help you bring you clarity, help you bring you strength and power in occult matters. And it can help you bring you bravery and go into the depths of what it is that you want to work. So go into the depths of the magic that you want to work. You can harness that. And by meditation, by calling upon it, like you call upon the element, you can call upon the power of Scorpio. You can call upon the intensity, the secretiveness. If you want to remain secret, you can do like a spell to create a shroud of secrecy around what you're doing to blind people to not see what you're working. You're not actually blinding people, so it's not like a left hand or a dark magic type of thing. It's just you. It's just like if you create a profile and you set it to private, it's the same thing. You're not infringing on anybody, on anybody's free will. You're just exercising your own. Okay, so let's go to Capricorn, Earth signs. So Capricorn is just like Scorpio, except you can harness Capricorn to help you get work done, to help you get work done, to help you kick ass, okay? So, especially if you're doing a hot foot spell, and yes, that is left hand or dark, but if you are doing that like you have an abuser or something that goes into left hand, then you can harness the power of Capricorn to help you set that intention right, to get that hot foot spell, the power and the intention to make it work. Okay, so everything I said for Capricorn goes for Scorpio. Everything I said for Scorpio goes for Capricorn. Okay, except Capricorn is get it done. Scorpio is give you power, give you the what you need to get it done. Capricorn is the get it done. The get it done. Okay, so let's talk about Taurus. Okay, so the sign of Taurus, another earth sign, stability, lavishness, Venus. So beauty, beauty spells, of course, yes. You can call up on the planet Venus, or power of Taurus. You have Taurus prominently in your chart somewhere. Call up on that if you're doing a beauty spell or something, or even if you're just tidying up your house, you can even do a spell for that to get you in the mood to help you with design or decorating and stuff like that. If you're soaking in a tub, if you're trying to add romance to your relationship or trying to bring love to your life, trying to make yourself more attractive, then you can call upon your power of the Taurus influence in your natal chart. You use your natal chart as a magic tool as well, okay? Don't just say, oh, I know your birth chart. Your birth chart is a magic tool, okay? It's your magic tool chest, okay? You can actually access it and bring out of it what you need because it is you. Okay, so if you have Taurus in the second house, your sun is in Taurus and it's in the second house, you're really about material matters. You really identify with things that you have, you love, have beautiful things around you. Call upon that if you feel as if you are not, or you're trying to attract love or something like that. Call upon that. Rose quartz, the pink candles, rose incense, things that are romantic to you. And then just think about Venus. Okay? The planet Venus or the Greek god Venus or both. And all the attributes that Venus has. And incorporate that into yourself and do a spell that, like a spell of beauty, a beauty spell to help you do that. Because visualizing the power of attraction is focused intention and visualization and pulling that in and believing it to your heart, to your heart's content. So you can do a spell to help you to do exactly that and pull that energy from your second house because you know you love beautiful things around you and you know that you're beautiful on the inside. And if you don't think that you are, then allow Venus to love you and show you what that love looks like so that you can learn to believe it too. Okay? Stuff like that. If you're an artist, if you are out looking for a new house and you want to find a beautiful house, ask Venus to help you. Find that Taurian streak in you, okay? Find that Taurian streak in you. What planet is in Taurus? What house is Taurus in? Is it first house, second house, third house, fourth house? Learn what that means, okay? I don't have enough time to teach that in this podcast, but maybe we'll do that in the next one or a later one. But let's see, let's go on to Virgo, okay? So with Virgo, you've got the Virgin. Virgo is the Virgin. So with the Virgin, you've got somebody that is very critical, but what people don't see is that they're more self-critical than they are outwardly critical. So you got someone who loves cleanliness and finds that an aphrodisiac, actually. Being in a completely clean environment, people that smell fresh and clean are an aphrodisiac. And they are very helpful people. Virgos are very helpful. So if you are Virgo somewhere in your chart, in your personal planets, then even if you're a outward planet or a social planet like Jupiter, the ones that take many years or a few years or so to change signs, to go into another sign, you can harness Virgo's energy when it comes time to clean your house. When it comes time to clean up your life, clean your altar, or Virgos are also very creative. So decorating, designing a new altar. Those types of things are wonderful ways for you to harness the energy of Virgo. The planet Virgo is Mercury, so if you need to communicate something, then harness that energy. If you're Virgo and or if your Mercury is in Virgo, harness that energy. Take that ability to get your point across, to communicate, and all that. Like Gemini and Virgo both share the same ruling planet, the Mercury. Wittiness, being able to hold interesting conversations with people, getting what you need by using the right words, knowing what to say and when, those types of things. Use that to your advantage. You can even, if you want to come up with a new spell, but you want a new, like a chant or something to go with it, call upon that and then just use that energy to help you in writing poetry or poetry and chants and spell is enchanting. It's very enchanting. It's like the universe works in rhythm, and there's a rhythm to life. There's a rhythm in poetry, and the universe responds to poetry's rhythm. So use the power, the energy, the influence of Mercury or Virgo or even Gemini to come up with some interesting chants or finish a book you're trying to write. Or spells don't always have to be elaborate things. If you want to finish reading a book, you can do a quick spell for that. Something that's even just a thought or words, okay? You don't actually need any tools at all to create magic, as long as you have focus and intention. Even visualization, as that's goes into focus. So focus and intention. If you have that, that's really all you need, because everything else just helps you with focus and intention. And yes, everything else resonates with its own energy, but if your focus and intention is strong enough, you really don't need any spells, any tools. You don't need any tools to do a spell. Okay, so let's go to Aries, fire signs. So with Aries, you've got aggression, you've got ego, you got arrogance, you've got a go-getter, you've got people that start things, great starters, like the number one in numerology, great initiators. They're the initiators of the zodiac, the initiators in numerology. They are very egotistical. They don't like to be micromanaged, but they are very shrewd when it comes to getting something done. Okay, so with Aries, you guessed that you can use that energy to do exactly that in your spell, in your life. If you have Aries somewhere in your chart, prominent in your chart, you can access that energy, harness that energy from your chart, pull it out and put it where you want it. Okay. The energy that comes from just talking about Aries. Their ruling planet is Mars, which they share with Scorpio. So there is a lot of aggressive purposeful sexual nothing is happenstance with Mars. Everything is direct. You know, it's in your face. So if you need this in this type of energy in something, then it would be great to use that in your spell. Harness that from your chart. If you don't have Aries in your chart, if you don't have it prominently in your chart, you don't have Scorpio prominently in your chart, you can still harness it. Don't think you can't harness it. But if you have it, use it. Okay? It's what it's there for. The planets just didn't line up in your birth chart to line up in a birth chart for you to look at. There's a reason it's there. You're supposed to use it. You're supposed to use that energy. Use it, because if you don't use it, it is just sitting there. Okay, let's go to Leo. Extravagance, the sun sign. I got to hurry this up. I got about 9 or 10 minutes left. So Leo, the sun sign, lion, lioness, extravagant, focused, very self-indulgent, very self-centered. They love mirrors because they love their own beauty. So, and they're very elegant. So, same thing. You can use this. You can use this in your work. You can use this because they love extravagance, elegance. They love money. They love the smell, the look, money. They will bathe themselves in money because it's extravagant. It's lavish. And they love all that. So, you can use that in money spells. You can use that energy and prosperity and looking for a good community to move into, looking for a job, improving your life, beautifying your life, your world, all of that. Being business savvy and focused and shrewd and getting that energy, getting that proposal done, going into your boss with the confidence of Leo and letting him know that you want a raise or what your project is or what your proposal is, and getting in that board meeting with confidence, because Leos are confident, very confident. And you can use sunflowers, things associated with the sun, rubies. Rubies are associated with Leo, so ruby crystals. There's crystals that are like that are rubies. All that good stuff. So let's go to Sagittarius, Jupiter. A planet of expansion and luck and prosperity, and Sagittarians are free spirits. They go their own way. They can be very emotional because they have that. They're that fire sign that has that, and they feel everything intensely. They come right after Scorpio, so they got that carried over from Scorpio. So you can use Sagittarius to help you find new ways to do things, break out of a mold, be an individual, see the world and through different eyes, get a new perspective. If you're tired of an old perspective, you get a new perspective. Philosophizing, debating, all that good energy. If you want to get out there and be social and just be open and just not care, just put yourself out there. And if you have, I mean, if you've got Sagittarius somewhere in your chart, use it in your personal planet, Sun, Moon, Venus, Mercury, Mars. Okay, let's go to air signs, Aquarius. Aquarius is the humanitarian. They are detached. All air signs are detached to some point. Aquarius, the most detached of all the air signs. They are very stylish. They do love selfies because they're very self motivated, very self-controlled, very self-indulgent. And no, they did not get that. Capricorns are very self-indulgent as well. They love clothes, especially Capricorns. Aquarians kind of carry that over, and Neptune is so reflected that it actually can reflect backwards onto Aquarius, making Aquarius love their own image. So if you find that you can use that energy, hype it up, or you can try, like, you can use that energy, you can place that, if you are like that, but you wish that you were like that in other areas of your life, you can do a spell to, or a visualization technique to shift some of that energy over to other aspects and areas of your life. Okay, let's move on to Gemini. Gemini is the twins. I got 4 minutes left. Gemini is the twins, communicative, witty, they can be very emotional, like a Pisces. They can also be very communicative, intensely communicative, whether good or bad. They can be loud. Geminis can be loud. They can be quiet, but even if they're quiet, there's something very loud in their in their style of communicating. So you need to be heard. If you want to be heard, you want somebody to hear you. If you're in a relationship and you feel like you're not being heard, harness that energy, okay? In those type of ways, okay? So last one, 3 minutes left, Libra, Venus, co-ruler, is also ruled by, Venus also rules Taurus, so beauty, but Libra is about couples, it's about relationships. They're very elegant, very stylish, very into their image, like Aquarius. They're very elegant and they do love their own image, but they also can be quite insecure and they can be quite emotional because of Venus. Venus brings in the sensitivity into this air sign of Libra. And so Libra with Venus rules beauty, so romance, relationships, marriage, anything dealing with partnerships. Okay, so you can harness that energy to help you in love spells and in writing your vows. You want to enchant your vows or a love poem or a love letter. Use that energy to help you enchant that love letter and write that love letter with enchanted power, with enchanted magic mixed in there, so that the recipient can access, will feel that, will get that. And so no, that's not left hand or black magic. That's just putting your intent, giving your intention to letting the recipient know what your intentions are, how you feel, in an unmistakable way. Okay, so okay, I'm like right under the gun here, so oh my goodness. So thank you guys for tuning in, thank you so much. And subscribe to me wherever you hear me, follow me, like me, all that good stuff. Okay, like if you've already done that, I thank you so much and I appreciate you so much. And until next time, bye.